Welcome to Pediatric Insight, where we have candid conversations with members of the Child Health Advisory Council and some of the nation's top academic child health leaders. I am Wesley Milliken, CEO of Career Physician, and your host. Each conversation addresses a leadership challenge or opportunity that's top of mind for today's pediatric leaders. The council breaks it down based on the wisdom and experience obtained throughout their distinguished careers. And now, I'm honored to turn it over to the moderator in today's conversation.
Hi, my name is Craig Hellemeyer, and along with my colleague Peggy Troy, we're going to be talking about the art of making a deal. As a leader in pediatrics, how do we make those things happen if we need to work with other people to make them happen? So thank you for joining us for today's Pediatric Insight. The council members in attendance today are Bob Swain, Ruder Stapleton, Valerio Papari, Danielle LaRocca-Arena, Wesley Milliken is the head of career physicians, Arnie Strauss, Peggy Troy will be my co-moderator, and we're glad that you can join us. So today's topic is making a deal, the art of making a deal. And one of the things that happens in life is that sometimes you're successful and sometimes you're not. So I'd be interested in maybe some of the panel members talking a little bit about some of the failures and some of the pitfalls they've had and putting together these packages. Maybe Bruder, you might want to comment first on, you know, ways that maybe successes or failures in communication, bringing different components together, building the package, or maybe even maintaining excitement among the other components of the recruit or the candidate, him or herself, how those have gotten in the way of maybe a successful recruitment.
I can say that the pitfalls are the failure to do all the great advice that my colleagues have offered previously. I think that a couple of things that can be challenging and pitfalls. And one is making assumptions. First, assuming that in advance you know what the recruit needs and not listening. I remember one recruit that I had put this, what I thought was a great package and it met their needs, and it wasn't working. And in the last discussion, I was really trying to understand what it would take. And I realized that they wanted to not just build a division, but to develop some new skills. And so I offered her a sabbatical in 2 years based on performance. And her eyes lit up and she took the job. But I had not assumed until I was listening to what she said at the very end that there was something beyond what she was telling me. The second thing that can be a challenge is, you know, it's so important to get any stakeholders involved in meeting the candidates, but then assuming that because they've met them, they're going to be excited about that candidate as well. Say the dean or the CEO of the hospital, really understanding and talking to them and having that communication line that, is this person going to meet the needs of the organizations that you're expecting additional resources for to come forward? And then to not just have them meet someone on a first visit and then put a package together and going to them says, you know, I really appreciate it if you could offer us this. And they're saying, well, I just met them this one time. I don't know what they're, you know, I think communication is so important. Expecting people to contribute to a package without including them and finding wins. And that goes with other departments too. I think everything said about cooperating with other departments is important. I remember working with a senior investigator in her department of microbiology, and she asked me to go with her to her chair to obtain a resource, and we did. And then I needed her to help me with a recruitment package and getting an appointment at a certain level at the university. She was kind of a tough cookie, but she was willing to do that because I had helped her. And so Valerie's point of really being a community citizen is so important. And then the last point is, when you're putting together a big package, there are people in the area, the division, for example, that you're recruiting this package, that have been wanting resources for a long time, and all of a sudden they see you coming in and making this big offer, and and believe you me, the moment a person leaves your office, everyone's going to know what you've offered. So, really thinking and communicating with the teams when you're putting together a big and trying to find ways that you can create excitement about a vision so that you don't get a lot of resentment or people even thinking about leaving because they didn't get resource. So those are a couple of comments that I thought might be useful.
That's a really good point, Bruder. One of the things that I found as dean, if you do help someone put together a big package, it's really important how you roll that out because it's not that individual doing this. It's this individual along with the Department of Surgery, the Department of Medicine, whatever, that's making this happen, that it's a joint effort because that tends to make some of the envy be a little bit less poignant, I think. I don't know, Bruce, did you have any thoughts on that, the sort of way that you've seen packages not work out well?
Craig, I've got thoughts. And to begin with the failures, the biggest one is often really long, opaque, inefficient hiring processes. People get exhausted at both ends, or they start looking at other positions. If there is any way that you can early on communicate to find a way to streamline a hiring process, that will maintain excitement. But moving on with something that Bruder said about giving a package that everybody knows about. We've run into issues with mismatched compensation, and that would both be insufficient for what the market shows, not realizing what the market pays. But we've also had difficulties bringing somebody in at market where there were junior faculty or even more senior people that had been there for a long time with a disparity. And that led to conflicts, not necessarily due to the candidate's own personality. That made it really difficult to work with people that felt they had been slighted. So, as you're bringing somebody on and making sure that their compensation matches that which is normally for that position, ensure that you're being fair to the other people as well, the other members of that department or division. All of this goes back to early communication. And these things can all getting it right. Listening to the candidate can add to excitement. Bruder spoke about making sure that you keep in touch with the people that they've met. We also ask the candidates if they're being invited onto campus, who would they like to meet with that they haven't met with, and why would they like to meet with them? And then contact those people in advance and say the candidate is specifically requested to meet with you to talk about research collaboration, your work in the community, for whatever reason. So that everybody is prepared. That's a great excitement builder, and it shows that you're listening to the candidate.
Great. Thank you very much, Bruce. Arnie, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Pitfalls, you mentioned. My biggest mistake or mistakes involve two things. Number one, I didn't listen to people who recommended or whom I asked about the candidate from their home institution. So you have to listen to what people say about the candidate who know them well. And sometimes that's veiled and hard to sort of pin down, but if there's a in the conversation, you have to be very careful about it. The second pitfall was recruiting someone who was not a fit for the culture of our institution. And that culture, for example, was collaborative and interactive. And the person was a star. Going to be really successful in the academic sense, but just pissed off everybody. And you just can't have that when it's such an important leadership role.
Thank you, Ronnie. That's a great point. One of the things that I just wanted to emphasize was that sometimes, especially at more university-wide positions, if you're recruiting or responsible for recruitment around a center or a program that involves other things, is who is in charge. And I think it's really important to make it clear to the candidate and to the other entities in the organization that you're working with who is going to be in charge of that person. Because I've seen sometimes where that actually becomes a problem. I mean, what are their accountabilities and who are they expected to make it happen if there are multiple people involved in the recruitment? Danielle, did you have something you wanted to add?
I wanted to go back to Bob's comment, which is coming from the surgeon, and when he mentioned that the surgeon in chief is actually not a chair. So I think it brought me back to the idea of respect, meaning that whoever you're going to collaborate with on behalf of children and families, et cetera, it's really important to understand that those roles are respectful of each other. And Bob, I was thinking of a role where the chair of pediatrics was being recruited, and the surgical chief was extremely important, but felt somewhat threatened by that recruitment, and establishing that that relationship needs to be not only trusting, truthful, et cetera, but respectful of the roles that complement each other. So I think that's really vital. It doesn't matter what the title is. Sometimes it is that that respect is understood and that the work can't get done without that going forward. So thanks, Bob, for that comment.
Peggy, did you have any other comments you wanted to make as we wind up here?
Yeah, I just have one other pitfall that I've faced, and that's when the members of the search committee are not aligned in the process and what the package looks like. And so when they're with the candidate by themselves, they can undermine what you've done and how you've put this together. So to me, it's really important that the search committee members understand the vision, understand what you're looking for in terms of the priorities of the organization, and then what you're willing to put forth. Because as these things unfold in the search committee, if there isn't that alignment, because you usually have others, people representing departments that might not just be the Department of Pediatrics, that can really create a dynamic of lack of trust and other things that discourage candidates from wanting to come to your organization.
I was going to give two examples that I really like that search committee one. I could have given one on that too. But anyway, I recall one very important recruitment that required incredible alignment with the hospital leadership, several other departments, and a really talented, committed individual to address an issue that had been a real barrier to solid collaborative care provision. And the letter was constructed, everybody was on board, people's names from other departments were embedded in the offer letter, showing the commitment, everything was in alignment, and everything was ready to go. And when the candidate arrived on the campus, slowly but surely, one issue after another cropped up to not allow this collaboration to go forward. And many additional accommodations were made with this other department to try and get things back on track. And it was just not going to happen. And it was an incredible disappointment for me and for this candidate. And I actually worried incessantly that the candidate we had recruited would leave the institution. And it wasn't just my disappointment, it was big disappointment of the hospital leadership at the time that had participated in this effort. So there were many, many groups that were disappointed. And at the end of the day, the candidate did not leave because they, I think, were committed to long-term trying to address the problem. But they also saw that it wasn't a failure of the package not really being outlined, it was a failure of individuals, specific individuals, blocking a change that they just couldn't deal with. So it could have gone another way. Eventually, over the course of many years, the problem was addressed. But I think it's a gut check for all of us that even when you do everything right, even then when you make all of the touch points that you need to make, sometimes the package can't deliver for a candidate, and it is an issue that you have to grapple with as a leader and hopefully not lose a good person who's providing other expertise. And the second example I was going to give you was when I initially became chair, a very, very accomplished individual had been recruited to the department, not by me, but my predecessor. And they were part of a dual career commitment where the Central University had recruited the husband and the spouse. She was given an appointment, and she had a technical skill that was only performed in another department. And so in her offer letter, it it was said that she would be able to perform this skill and get reimbursed for doing this skill. And when she arrived on the campus, the other department reneged on the deal. And so I had this wonderful technical person and a very unhappy group and a department that was recalcitrant. And so here's the point of this story. I decided to play hardball. And sometimes you have to do that when a group has reneged on a deal. And the hardball that I decided to do would have really significantly upset the entire division. And I explained to them that I thought my strategy was a good strategy and that I would win. And they thought I was crazy. And I decided that I was going to take that chance, even though I was a new chair and they were all against me doing this. But I had this gut feeling that it would go right. And it did. The institution made it a dictum that she was not to be not allowed to practice what she was board certified to practice. And she was given full authority to do so. So I guess I'm giving you that example because sometimes, even though we've talked really, and I believe in this very, very firmly, that trusting, goodwill relationships are critical. Sometimes as a hospital administrator and as a department chair, you have to kind of set a line in the sand and be willing to take a risk in order to get, you know, what will be right for the individual and for the organization.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. I've had a lot of really great comments. And I think at the end of the day, you know, relationships and trust, they're really what it's all about. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you for joining us for today's discussion. The Child Health Advisory Council is comprised of a diverse group of emeritus deans, department chairs, division chiefs, and child health executives recognized for their leadership contributions in academic, pediatrics, and child health. The CHAC's impact is further bolstered by council specialty advisors who are active current national leaders in each of the subspecialties in pediatrics. Collectively, the 30-plus members of the CHAC bring unmatched wisdom and experience to career physicians' executive search and leadership development endeavors for its clients. If you have a question for our council or have a future topic suggestion, please connect with us at pediatricinsight.com.